Tommy Gazzola joins us. Tommy, ever been taken on April Fool's?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I bite because I forget what day of the year it is and what month and when the calendar flips. I've bitten hard, and I give people the benefit of the doubt too, Greg's. And so I bite hard on some. I don't remember, like, off the top of my head which ones in specific that I've been duped by, but yeah, admittedly I have. And it this year though, it just I'm not even having it. It just doesn't feel the same. You know what I mean? It's just everything that's gone on. It's like, yeah, it's April Fool's, but I don't know. But I'm gullible. I'll buy it. Hook, line, and sinker.
That's fair. What do you make of Tyler Ennis?
I've liked Tyler Ennis when he's played for the most part this season. There's been some games that he's been less effective, but that happens to be in games where he's probably third or fourth line, and you know, obviously that's when there's a lot of special teams in games where there was a lot of penalties. I think he's been better lately, and you know, I know this whole scenario with him being back on waivers, like Daniel Nugent Bowman. Good to have DNB back on the coverage side, by the way. Might open up some money a little bit down the line, but I've liked him for the most part.
You think it gets claimed at this point? You know, it's different early in a season when you put a player on waivers early in the year. Lots of teams are kind of jockeying for who they like and stuff like that. But now you are, you know, just over a week away from an NHL trade deadline. And, you know, he's a million-dollar player. He is what he is, right? Like, he's a skilled guy. You know, he's not very physical, but, you know, he can chip in offensively, you know, maybe some defensive liabilities. Do you think anybody takes a bite?
Well, and I was wondering this when I saw the release this morning, and I thought maybe that now there might be more so an opportunity for a team to pick up an Ennis because his price point's good, he's good depth, I think he's a likable guy, and he's effective in certain moments and times in games, so I thought maybe there'd be a chance that someone would take a flyer on Tyler Ennis because he is available, but I mean, we're coming off a scenario a couple days ago where Shane Gostisbehere, who is, you know, more expensive at $4.5 million, but probably packs a little bit more punch from the blue line than Tyler Ennis in terms of bringing some impact to a lineup, went unclaimed. So you weigh that and you go, maybe we're still not at that point where teams are willing to take someone on just for the sake of it to pad their roster and get that insurance. So I'll lean more towards no again, but I was kind of curious and kind of had that thought process when I looked at it this morning.
Yeah, I'd probably be a little surprised to do it. What do you think? Like, do you like Cahoon better than Ennis? Because if I look at the second line spot beside Drysdale, like, what is Cahoon doing that he's getting more opportunity than Ennis there? What do you see? What am I missing? Is it just because he's got a few more goals? Like what?
Well, the 9 points in 29 games, it's generally what, 5-on-5? I mean, he's hardly out there on power play time, and it doesn't play any special teams outside of if he gets thrown out there for PP2. What I like about him, Greggs, is there definitely is a chemistry with Leon Draisaitl. And you can see them with their little plays here and there. They can read off of each other really well. I think Yamamoto, when he's going, also is good at reading off of those two and playing off of them. And then here's the other thing is I think he gets knocked for not being feisty enough and forechecking hard enough, but I actually think he surprises people with his ability to get in on the forecheck, strip pucks. And you're right, he's not the biggest guy. He's not the best skater on the team, but he hustles, he gets to the right spots. You heard Dave Tippett say you want him to go to the net more, maybe take the puck to the net more and eliminate the turnovers. We saw that in Toronto, it cost them. But I think there is a decent player there, but he teases you with those little plays and those brief moments and glimpses where it looks like he's going to do something and then it ends up being all for naught. And then the few times where he does capitalize, you're like, oh, see, there it is. He can still do it. So I like him. And in regard to him over Ennis, I think basically between those two, to me at least, in spot duty, whichever one of those two you think is going or meets a matchup better, you slide into that spot. I think they're interchangeable, honestly.
Tommy Gazzola joins us. Caleb Jones will get a another opportunity. And I like who he's paired with. They're going to play him with Ethan Bear, so he doesn't have to take a ton of defensive zone starts playing with Adam Larson. Right? Try to get his confidence back, maybe not have to play as many tough matchups, and possibly get a little bit more ice time with the Draisaitl line.
And let's see how he handles things away from the puck. We know with the puck, he's generally pretty good, smooth, skates well, jumps up into the play. I'm sure he's ready to rock and get back in there. And you've got a motivated young player, and that generally helps too. Eager to show that, you know, he's got some value. Obviously, he does. A lot of upside with him. He's still a young defenseman trying to find his groove at the NHL level. So tomorrow night against the Flames, let's see if he can get his feet moving, handle things away from the puck well, good positioning, all of that. And it'd be nice to see him cash in offensively a little bit. Him and Ethan Bear, two young defensemen that are still up-and-comers. A lot of upside with those two. And the other thing, too, is it keeps him involved, which is great. And, you know, Dave Tippett generally is pretty consistent in talking about that with his players on the taxi squad or the guys that are just healthy scratches. Got to keep them involved. Got to keep them ready. Keep them sharp. Here's a chance for Caleb Jones to do just that.
Tom Cazzolo joins us on Edmonton Sports Hitter TSN 1260. Tommy, the Jays game-saving play at home just throughout the runner at the home base to keep it tied at two. How much are you into Blue Jays baseball? Or just baseball overall?
I love baseball. I love the big leagues. I follow the Diamondbacks just because. And the Jays are always on. I have nothing against the Jays. As a kid, I grew up watching them win those World Series. I remember jumping for joy when Joe Carter hit that smash and bomb home run at the Sky Dome back in the day. But I always don't mind putting it on, and I told Connor that. I'm like, it's the perfect background noise from the spring until the fall. The interest peaks in the fall when the ball gets for real. Like, you know that some of these guys, like, baseball's so nonchalant. It's a casual sport. It's a great social sport if you're going to watch baseball. That's what I love about it. I love going to the ballpark, having a few pops, and sitting there and jabbing away and gabbing away and every now and then you glance and look at what's going on. You're looking in the stands to see what's going on. To me, it's a fantastic sport. But when it comes to the Jays, you follow them because they're the team of our country. And whether they win or lose doesn't really rattle me either way. And I just enjoy it. And I have to say, I really like what they've done with the Powder Blues. They pop really nice, Gregs. They really do. And they complement them well with the baby blue on the brim of the cap. So I don't mind it. I always have these games on. How much I pay attention depends on the day, to be honest with you.
Okay, that's fair. Like the honesty, it is a long season in baseball, so I do find that my interest at times, like, hey, it's opening day, so I'm pretty excited. Always like to see the new play. I will say, though, the baby blues that the Jays are wearing today, sick.
Yes.
That's their best uni. They should wear it more often.
I like what they've done with these, and I think, you know, they kind of experimented with that black sort of gray look for 8 or 9 years, when Jose Bautista got there, and then they went back to this, and now with the double blue stripe, they have their signature look. Stick with it. I know they're going to throw in alternate uniforms from time to time. It's a good little way to boost the pocketbooks and make money off a new uniform, but I think this is the look, and these baby blues, I'm right there with you. They look really, really sharp.
Tom Cazzolo joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Tom, you ever thrown your helmet at anybody?
No, but that was hilarious. Good for a $5,000 fine. I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, I'm sure they're just setting an example. So I don't know, Gregs. What did you make of McKinnon doing that? I thought it was hilarious, to be honest.
Oh, like, there's two things I found funny. A, like, it was like a softball little pitch at him. And,
yeah.
You know, it's funny. Obviously, they're like, and I give McKinnon credit. Like, if he overthrows that, like, over his head, well, then it looks way more serious. But when you're lobbing it in there, you know, he gets a fine because he has to. And is it unsportsmanlike conduct? Sure. It's probably worth it for him at that point. But what made me laugh even more was Habs fans whining that McDavid got fined the same that McKinnon did.
Oh, of course.
That was the greatest. Oh, I was CBO. They're losing their marbles again. So that part I found quite funny. But it did make me chuckle. You know what? It is what it was. If you want to give them, people are going to say, oh, you shouldn't do that. you know what? So what? Hey, you know what? If you're the person that always makes the right decision, good on you. Pat yourself on the back. I've never lived my life where I as a parent, there's time. Oh, yeah, probably shouldn't have said that to my son. And you know what? You got to live with it. That to me, there's no harm, no foul. It's hilarious. And I just like the reaction of, like, it looked, cause I had to watch it a few times at first. I'm like, where'd the helmet come from? Cause I didn't, like, the first time I watched it, I was like, where does helmet come from? And then I had to watch it again, and that's what made me laugh, because I just didn't pick it up right away, because you're just not used to seeing a guy throw his helmet at someone.
Well, maybe Nathan MacKinnon was just trying to be helpful and give Connor Garland his helmet back. He lobbed it at his chest, and Connor Garland was in fight-or-flight mode, and he didn't see it till the last second, so he flailed his arms. Maybe McKinnon's being penalized for just trying to be a good guy. I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes you shouldn't punch a guy in the face on the ice. Sometimes you shouldn't give him that extra mouthwash. Sometimes you shouldn't say something to him, but it's in the heat of battle. And that was a crazy game to begin with, goals galore. And then you get some brouhahas in there. Who cares? Come on, Habs fans, relax. Kotkaniemi was laughing on the bench. And for those that were enjoying what happened with MacKinnon and Connor Garland last night, good. It's good for a chuckle. Sometimes it's fun to watch the bloopers and the lighter side of hockey and sports, and that's going to be on there for sure for years to come.
Oh, yeah, it was hilarious. Like, sometimes we don't have to take sports so serious. That was harmless. Yeah. It wasn't hurting anyone, anything like that. I thought it was pretty good. Oilers, Canucks, the Canucks game canceled last night. I got to think they're not going to play on Saturday.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is we saw the news a couple nights ago, and with the positive to Gaudette, and it's like, ah, geez, you know, what's going to happen for Saturday? Then yesterday, it looked like everyone was on the ice, sounded like things were good. As Farhan Lalji mentioned, they sped up their results. They paid to get the test results in quicker yesterday. Turns out they had a couple more positives. That's bad news, and we're back at that point now where we're just waiting to find out if the Canucks have to go into the same type of quarantine situation that the Habs went into. If it happens, that sucks, but I'm looking at it this way. Saturday night, free night to have a little fun, safely, of course, but either way, if they play, would be great. If not, do it for the safe and smart reasons, and then they can reschedule it. And you mentioned there's some pockets in this season where they can make that game up, no problem.
Oh, it's easy because Vancouver's in Edmonton on the 12th and the 14th, and then both of them have the 15th and the 16th off before they play on the 17th, Vancouver back at home, Edmonton in Winnipeg. So, like, that 15th date makes the most sense. Right? Yep. Because, you know, it would be 3-4 for both teams. It's even. They both would then have the Friday off, and then they travel Vancouver back home, Edmonton to Winnipeg, and away they go. So I think if there's a makeup game, book it for the 15th of February. Or sorry, April. That would be my guess.
Well, it works for me, works for you, and I'm sure it'll work for everyone. As long as everything's good with the Canucks, let's hope there's no more positives, and we'll go from there.
Tommy, have yourself a good one. Hopefully you don't get fooled for the rest of the day.
thanks, Craigs. I don't like my chances.